You are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
Welcome, everybody, to the God's Love Podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. Thank you so much for joining me, whether it's night, noon, morning, wherever you are. Thank you for just joining me on today and listening and being a part. I have a birthday coming up, guys. I will be turning I will be turning 32 Saturday, I'm celebrating life. For those that have, you know, been following me for a while, I almost committed suicide about 2 years ago, almost 2.5 years ago. And coming from that time and into this time that we are in now, that I'm in now, when I look back on those days, I was in the darkest period of my life and didn't want to live, didn't want to be around. And God turned that around. Like he made me whole again and showed me a new way of life and a new way of his grace and a new way of his mercy. And it's available for all to enjoy. You know, it's not something that you have to put on hold. It's not something that you have to be perfect for. It's not something that you have to put on a show for. It is perfect in all its ways. And God is able to transform your life if you let him, and you let him into your life. So I'm celebrating, man. I don't know how. I don't know what I'm going to do. But the 13th of February is my birthday. So you all, again, thank you. Today's topic, we are going to be discussing a safe place. And I know that I was supposed to get into the most, you know, common misconceptions of love. It's February. We're supposed to deal with love. Maybe we can tie it in a little bit. But all of us need a safe place. And I was thinking about this in one of my therapy sessions, and not even just in the therapy sessions, but in my in one of my a minister was up talking, and he talked about how sometimes if there's things that you're dealing with, that the best way to deal with those things is through confession. And he talked about, you know, you having to have a safe place for you to confess and for you to feel able to express your sins and express the things that you've done wrong. Like, you need a space for that. And I thought about it and I thought about it and I thought about it and I asked myself, where is my safe place? Like, what do I consider, to be my safe place? And I had to be realistic and say that I have very limited safe spaces in my life. And I don't think having a safe space should be broad either, right? But I know that I can go to my mom. I know I have a friend I can go to. One of my boys that I've been friends with for years, I know I can go talk to him, and express kind of what it is. But do you have a safe space? And we can actually deal with relationships with this, because most relationships that you have, when they first start off, there's no safe space. When they first, begin, there's not a safe space where both parties can come and express themselves in their weaknesses and their imperfections. Both parties are trying to really put on for each other and are really trying to show each other the best version of themselves. And because of this, they are seeking this self gratification of self, really, instead of having an open format where people can come together and really discuss their weaknesses, their vulnerabilities. That doesn't happen in the beginning. That builds. That builds over time, and you develop the intimacy. And once you develop that intimacy, you begin to open up. Well, in most cases, failed relationships happen where we limit the amount of vulnerability and openness that we can be. I'll give you an example. If a man is having, you know, issues with his girl and communication is cut between that, typically that opens the door for somebody else, right? Because he doesn't feel like he can confide into whom he is with in a relationship at that time. Same thing would go for women. You know, the woman is trying to confide into her man, into her husband, into her partner, and she cannot because there's no room for openness or vulnerability there. There's no room for her to express her full thought of mind and emotion. And so it gets displaced someplace else. And therefore we get adultery. We get broken relationships. We get broken down marriages. I would even have to say, in my perspective, I'm putting a big parenthesis around mine. That's one of the reasons why my own marriage failed, is because there were two parties who were very, very damaged. And those two individuals that are very, very damaged, when you are damaged and you lose intimacy, intimacy is not sex. Sex can be a part of intimacy, but can be a cause of intimacy. But intimacy is not only sex. Intimacy is two individuals that are into each other. They are fully immersed in one another. And when that breaks down, the ability and the openness that is there or should be there goes away. And there's no longer any availability to be vulnerable or to be open because you lose trust. And when that happens, then there's the breakdown of communication, blah, blah, blah. This is important to note, because safe places are even not just in relationship as boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband and wife or whatever, even in regards to our children. Does your child feel like they can be open with you? Or do they feel like every single time they bring up an issue with you, that every single time they bring up an issue with you, that you're going to whip out the belt and that you're going to yell and that you can't handle the conversation that they need to express to you? So then they confide it in gangs. They confide it someplace else other than where they should be able to confide it with, which is their parents, or their teacher, or counselor, or somebody. They should have a safe place where they can confide what's going on the inside. And thinking about this safe place and us developing a safe place, I got this thought, and this came to mind, in reading a particular text in the Bible. We talked about this in one of the first episodes that I did, and I want to pull it up now just so that we can get a proper understanding of what I mean by a safe place and there being an opening for that safe place to reside. So in John chapter 4, we deal with the woman at the well, and the woman is coming in the sixth hour, which is in the middle of the day, and the woman is coming to draw water. As she is coming to draw water, which is really not the most opportune time to draw water. You can notice that there's no one else at this well except for Jesus and the woman. And Jesus himself has to stop because he's weary from his journey. More than likely, it was extremely hot. It was extremely humid at that time. And so Jesus stops at the well. He's tired. And as he stops at this well, the woman is coming to draw. Now the woman has more of a spiritual thirst than a natural thirst than what she thinks. And so she runs into Jesus. Jesus has a little bit of dialogue with her and tells her that he has water that shall never run dry. He has water that lives. He has water that's available for her that goes beyond what this well could give her. And so she says to Jesus, "Where is this water? Give it to me." Jesus says to her, "Go find your husband." Now here's the setup. So before, Jesus and the woman is having this argument, this debate, and Jesus and the woman is having this dialogue, and she has an attitude because Jesus is not a Samaritan and talking to her, and the Samaritans and the Jews didn't really like each other. The Jews thought that the Samaritans was dogs and filthy rags. Matter of fact, the city within Samaria, which is where this well is at, is called Sychar. The definition for Sychar is liars and drunkards. So he's in this city and she's there. He's having dialogue with her and she says, "Hey, can you give me this water that you're talking about, that you're bragging about, that you're boasting about?" And Jesus says to her, "Yes, I'll give it to you, but go get your husband." And here's where we're going to start to read. It says here, and he says, and Jesus saith unto her, and this is John chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus says unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband." Now he's confirming, you are correct. You don't have a husband. He says, "For thou hast had five husbands, and the whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly." So Jesus now exposes her sin. It is important that you and I understand a critical component in our relationship with God and even in our relationships with others. We must be willing to expose wrong, or we must be willing to tell individuals who we would call friends, we would have to be willing to express to them when they are wrong. Do you make a safe place for those that are around you to tell you when you are wrong? Because the Bible talks about their being that there seems a way to a man that is right, but the ends thereof are the ways of death and destruction. Meaning that all of us have the propensity to think we're right. All of us have the ability to think in our minds that we are correct. All of us have the ability to believe in our minds that we have it all together. But that is not always the case, and you need somebody in your corner that has the opportunity, the ability, and permission to tell you when you're wrong. You need guidance. You need somebody that can say to you, "Dude, you was wrong for how you talked to her. Girl, why would you say that to him? Dude, you know, you was wrong for putting your hands on her. What's wrong with you? Why would you do that? Or why would you cuss this grown man out? What is wrong with you?" You need somebody in your corner that can tell you the truth. And you need to develop a safe platform and a safe place for your friends to do that, to be able to come to you and to tell you, "You got it wrong." Another thing, and so after looking at that, nuance, now we see that the woman, that Jesus exposes her sin, but not only does Jesus expose her sin, he makes a safe place. Now, notice we said earlier, you need to make a safe place for people to correct you, right? And to lead you and guide you. But also you need a safe place that you can confess in. And so when Jesus says to the woman, you said correctly, you have had five husbands and the sixth one isn't your husband, he is not trying to embarrass her. He's not trying to put her on Front Street. He's not trying to expose her sin to everybody else. He ain't gossiping about her. He ain't talking bad about her. He ain't doing none of that. All he's saying is I see a thirst here and I know that I have to quench it. And in order to do so, I have to expose it. And Jesus is saying to us that in order for us to be able to release what is troubling us, to release what is our issue, we have to be willing to lay a pavement of safetiness with God, that and not only just with God, but with others. Can somebody be safe and feel safe around you with their sins? No, I'm not saying that you have to agree. I'm not saying you can't say that it's wrong. I'm not saying that you cannot trust how you feel. I'm not saying any. All I'm saying is that does somebody have the ability to be safe with you? Are they safe? Can they confess their faults like the Bible says, one to another? Do they feel safe around you to share the information that they have that's tormenting them by themselves, that and tormenting them within their mind and in their heart because they can't share what's troubling them on the inside? If there's any place on earth that there should be safety at, it should be the church. And the reason why is because everybody in that church, I don't care where you go to, I don't care how often you go, I don't care where you are in leadership, I don't care if you're the baptizer, the terrier, I don't care what you are at your home assembly, if you are there, somebody in there has done wrong. And for us to be willing to pick up a stone because somebody decided to confess themselves to us, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves and have conviction for our wrongdoing. And so the woman's sin is exposed, and Jesus makes a bed, a safe bed for her to be willing to relinquish that so that she can be a messenger for him. And I think that all of us would find ourselves being a better witness for Christ if we allowed Jesus to transform us and to transform our minds and to also create a safe haven for us to for us to confess. Listen. One thing that I found out about confession, and that is this. It can make, I don't care who you are, uncomfortable. But being uncomfortable doesn't mean that the place isn't safe. You see, you may have a child who is thinking about having sex. And so they come to you and they say, mommy, this is something that I want to try. I mean, you know, I'm saying mommy, that may not be a cool thing to bring up, but hey, your child brings that to you. You're uncomfortable, but you cannot make an unsafe place just because you're uncomfortable. You have to be willing even in your uncomfortability, to create a safe place for somebody to confess. That's what I love about Jesus and this woman at this well, is that Jesus does not pick up the stone to stone her for her sins. The only thing he does is just tries to fix it. He tries to make a bed of safety so that we can come and confide in him and release to him the things that we've done wrong and forgive ourselves as he forgives us and move on with our lives. That's what Jesus wants. That's what he wants for us, is he wants us to prosper, even as our, he wants our soul to prosper. He wants everything about us to prosper, but we can't do that because we have not made a safety place with him. The presence of the Lord, is so lovely. And it talks about how, man, I gotta find the scripture. It talks about, the joy that comes in the presence of the Lord, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's that joy that you get with being one-on-one with the Father, right? There can be a release there. There's a safety there because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a safety place there where I can go and lay down my burdens and my sins, and he not try to kill me for it, and he not try to slay me for it, and he don't talk about me, and he don't gossip about me. He don't spread my business all throughout the land. He don't spread my business all throughout my family, but he has created a safe place for him and I to dwell and to talk and to commune. The scripture says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth in and they are safe. There's safetiness with God. There's safety because of the blood of Jesus that I can bring my issues to. And if we can be real Christians and try to be like Christ, then we can, and followers of him, then we should be able to lay a bed around us to where there is safety for people to come into the church. They should not feel ashamed to come through those doors. It may be personal conviction, but they shouldn't feel shameful. They should be able to come into your sanctuary, come into your Bible class, come into your study, and to feel welcomed so that they can be delivered by whatever is troubling them. I'll say this, you cannot fulfill someone's thirst and you're not willing to lay a foundation of safety for that person to come in and confess and be who they were. I'm not saying you have to agree with what they're doing. I'm not saying you have to allow what they're doing into your pulpit, into your sanctuary. All I'm saying is there has to be a time where they have the comfortability to come and confess the things that they've done without you beating them over the head. Jesus laid a safe place for the woman. Jesus did not condone what she was doing. He just wanted to make sure that she understood that he wasn't going to treat her like the priest treated her, how the Jews treated her, how her friends maybe treated her, how her previous husbands treated her. No, Jesus was not going to treat her like that. He wanted her to know a love that was unconditional, that no matter what it is that she's done, she can go and bring it to him. And so I ask, that as we get ready to close this podcast, does someone have a safe place with you? Or are you going to gossip all their business to everybody? Being serious, you have to make a decision that I am going to, just like Jesus gives me a safe place, I'm going to give others a safe place. Because that's what he would have wanted us to do. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you so much just for your grace and your mercy. And I thank you, Lord God Jesus, for the listeners. Father, I pray that the word that was spoken, God, goes on good ground. And I pray that, Lord God Jesus, you bless, Lord God Jesus, and help. And to Lord God Jesus, just be with us, Lord God Jesus. And God, help us to keep you first. Help us, God, to always have spiritual encounters with you and your spirit. And help us, Lord God Jesus, to be the best that we can be. Bless us at our jobs. But most importantly, God, bless us to be able to make a safe place for others, just like we have a safe place with you. And God, we thank you. God, we praise you. You are good. You are good. You are good. And I praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all, man. Thank you so much for joining me on, it's nighttime right now. Please remember to like, share, and, subscribe, and share this with your family, share it with your friends. Thank you so much again for joining me. And please, please, please make it safe for people, just like Jesus made it safe for you. God bless you. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.